Do you know my Jesus? Amen. We've been following the lectionary since I've been here, and we've been in Luke's gospel now for a long time, but there's a lot of meat in Luke's gospel when it comes to the parables and the different things that Jesus taught. And this morning, I want to share from Luke's gospel in the New Living Translation of God's Holy and Precious Word, chapter 17, verses 1 or 11 through 17. As Jesus continued on his journey towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered the village, there were 10 lepers standing at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." He looked at them and he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, their leprosy disappeared. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God, praise God, I'm healed." And he fell down on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan, not a bunch of folks that was looked upon very kindly in those days. And Jesus asked, "Well, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Does only this foreigner return to give glory to God?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thankfulness. I have a commentary in my Bible I want to share with you. Because we're thankful for a lot of things in this life. And thankfulness is something that we really need to pay attention to. Jesus healed all 10 lepers, but only one returned to thank him. It is possible to receive God's great gifts without a grateful spirit. And you can also receive it with an ungrateful spirit. 9 of the lepers did so. The only thankful leper, however, learned that his faith had played a role in his healing. And only grateful Christians grow in understanding of God's grace. God does not demand that we thank him, but he is pleased when we do so, and he uses our spirit of thankfulness to teach us more and more about his kingdom. I love legends, looking around at the church and seeing history and everything here, but a lot of times there's things that happen that aren't part of history and they become legends. And this legend happens to take place about 2 angels who flew to earth to gather the prayers of the people. And whenever the people bowed in prayer by their bedside at night or in a chapel or in the church or on a mountainside, wherever they might be, the angels would stop, gather the prayers, and put them into their baskets. And before long, the basket carried by one of the angels grew so heavy that he had a hard time lifting it. And the other one remained almost empty. Now maybe you might guess why one of the basket was full and the other one was a little empty. Because the one that was full was filled with petitions. "Please give me this. Please give me that." And the other one had just 2 words in it. "Thank you. Thank you. Your basket seems very light," the one angel said to the other. "Oh yeah," he replied, the one who carried the basket contemplating that simple prayer, "thank you." But he added this. He says, "People are usually ready enough to pray for what they want, but very few remember to thank God when he grants their request." Wouldn't you agree? Sometimes I think what separates humans from the rest of the animal kingdom is a simple thank you. We're the only ones that can say it in God's kingdom. I don't know about you, but these smartphones drive me crazy. Now, I know some folks have iPhones, some's got Androids and all that, and I happen to have a Windows phone, and because when I went to get a new phone when my little flip phone died, oh, they said, "What do you have at home?" I said, "Well, I got Microsoft Windows." "Oh, then you'll love the Windows phone." Well, that's been the most challenging thing I could ever have. But I did learn a little bit on some of the features of that thing. I would push this little thing, and little Cortana, not Siri, but I have Cortana, would pop up and say, "May I help you?" And I would say to it, "Call Judy Honey at home." Now, the smartphone can't say Judy Honey because I call her Honey. It says Judy Honey. Call Judy Honey home. And she says, "Okay, calling Judy Honey." I said, "Okay." So I get Judy Honey on the phone and I tell her what I want to tell her. And then when it's all over, it's over. And I felt kind of foolish because I wanted to say to Cortana, "Thank you for getting Judy Honey on the phone." There's no place to say thank you. The need to express one of our most human attributes is a simple little thing of thank you. Now, like most electronic pieces today, there's nowhere to put that little phrase, thank you, or expressing our gratitude to others or expressing our gratitude to God. So saying thank you is really a statement of character. It's a statement of grace. And then finally saying thank you is also a statement of worship. And that's why we're here today. We sing our hymns. We sing some of the contemporary worship songs. We give our offering, every part of worship, both in offering of service and monetary gifts. That's why worship is not optional for a Christian. It's what we're about. That's why we're here to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for watching over us. Because it's a statement of character and it's a statement of faith. And it's the reason for our worship. And I hope sometime before this day is over, you'll take time as you stand before God and brother Christians and simply say, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you have a part of this. As I shared with you earlier, I've been humbled and honored to be appointed to this little church called Bethel United Methodist Church. A church with 182 years of history. It's just fascinating as I've been going through some of the things in the office, and I found these photo albums that Phil was talking about and how the history in this church has been maintained. And I want to say thank you for that. Most of you probably already know this, this particular pulpit, or I like to call it the holy desk, has real special meaning. And on it, it's got a plaque. And it says this: standing before this pulpit on February the 8th, 1845, at Trinity Methodist Church of Tallahassee, Florida, Bishop Joshua Soule convened the very first Florida Conference of the Methodist Episcopal Church. Trinity Church presented the pulpit to Bethel Church of Leon County. I think it says April 1895. I'll have to get Phil to correct me if I'm wrong because it's hard to read this. On this date, February the 10th, 1980, this historic pulpit is rededicated to the service of God in the name of all Florida Methodists by the congregation of Bethel United Methodist Church. I guess some of you who've been part of this church most of your life know the historical value of this church and the relationships and the people that's been a part of this who have since went home to be with the Lord. One of the things, unique things about Methodism is we're connectional. That's one of the things, like the way our country was founded. This hurricane came through, people come and go and they become part and become one. Well, when you're a part of a United Methodist Church or Methodist Church, whether you're in England or whether you're here, you're part of one, you're part of all of them. That's what makes us so special, because not that we're greater than anybody else, but we have a connection. We have a common theology and a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was fascinated because the name Bethel fascinated me.
right before we came officially in July, earlier I had performed a wedding ceremony in Pavo, Georgia at Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. And driving around town, I see Bethel Church over here, and I see Bethel Church over here, and I'm thinking, what is this Bethel? I mean, it's why do people come up with names, and how is it? And then I got to talking to Phil one day, and he says, Bethel means house of God. And I thought, So what I did is I thought, well, where can I find out more about this? And what do? You go to the first book of the Bible. You go to Genesis. And just briefly share what I found. There's many places in Genesis that the word Bethel is mentioned, and it refers to the house of God. Chapter 28, chapter 32, and then I came up to chapter 35. The very first verse, chapter 35, talks about Jacob's return to Bethel. God said to Jacob, now move on to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to worship me, to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. And then dropping down to verse 9, it said God appeared to Jacob once again when he arrived at Bethel after traveling from Padan-Aram. God blessed him and said, your name is no longer Jacob. You will now be called Israel. Then God said, I am God Almighty. Multiply and fill the earth. Become a great nation, even many nations. Kings will be among your descendants, and I will pass on to you the land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I gave it to you, your descendants. Then God went up from the place where he had spoken to Jacob. Jacob did that, set up a stone pillar to mark the place where God had spoken to him, and then he poured wine over it as an offering to God and anointed the pillar with olive oil. Jacob called this place Bethel, house of God, because God had spoken to him there. May God add his blessings to the reading of that. And that's what we're here today. I know some of you came from far and wide, never expected folks from England, but I'm glad you're here. Because this church or this body of Christ, you are all descendants of the founding members of Bethel Methodist Church. And you have gathered here again, as you have probably in some years past, to celebrate and to reconnect your roots and to renew the connection of the Bethel Methodist Church family. And you've come from different places, diverse places, also around the country or maybe the state. And you're drawn here every year as a spiritual identity that was planted, springing deep from within your soul. And you think, well, what might that be? Because we live in a time today in our world that we are becoming more and more secular, and we are cut off from such roots. So why is this group, descendants of Bethel Methodist Church this morning, here to celebrate homecoming? I think it's the tie that pulls us ever and ever closer to this place, because we were blessed here at one time in our life. And I've been blessed even though I've been only here a few months. Because this blessing is a precious gift from our Heavenly Father. You see, because you're not only children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the Bethel Methodist, you are also children of our Heavenly Father. And you're blessed in a wonderful way to be pulled back to this place. Perhaps the great blessing has come to you because of the prayers of the faith of the original Methodist congregation. I was thinking about that, the original Methodist congregation. As you look around, and I was sharing with Phil earlier, a lot of your big now non-denominational churches and so forth don't have cemeteries. Cemeteries in a little church like this is a place that's connected. It's a place that is always there because most of the members of the early founders of this church were probably laid to rest here. Although they're not here now, they're safely home with the Lord. But it's a blessing to be able to look and to know that the Bethel family had been started on these little grounds. Started with a Brush Arbor meeting down by the pond. Don't know if it was called Bethel Pond at the time, but people realized that where they were there worshiping, they were worshiping in the house of God, even though it was in the open. Bethel United Methodist Church became that name. Our name was changed also from the Methodist Church to the Methodist Episcopal Church of the South to just Methodist. Then in 1968, when we merged with the Evangelical United Brethren Church, it became the United Methodist Church. So today we celebrate a wonderful and an important part of the church reunion. But there's even a better reunion that lies ahead of us. It's our heavenly reunion, a great permanent gathering of all those who have accepted God's plan of salvation. That's why we can gather here today with hope, because of God's plan of salvation that was planted here many years ago and passed on, that we can safely say, yeah, that headstone out there says that's my relative, but they're not there. They're safely home with the Lord. We have hope. I like to paraphrase what the Apostle Paul said, that if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd be a sorry bunch of puppies. But because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have hope. Hope of eternal life. So whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the hope that we have. It's a message that's been preached in this church from its founding, and it has permeated in our being and in our community. It's an everlasting life reunion, if you so to speak. That's what we are today, because we're celebrating and we're drawn here to be a part of this heritage. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, we read a recounting of the story of many of our spiritual ancestors. In this chapter, the Bible summarizes the lives of those who are remembered and celebrating. And Scripture says this: these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off. What did Jesus say? Blessed are those who have seen, but more blessed are those who have not seen, but have heard. We were assured of them, we embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims here on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they have called to the mind that this country for which they came out of, they would have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better life, called of God, and he has prepared a city for them. But Jesus said, in my house there are many mansions, and if it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, we're here in the physical realm now, but we have that hope of knowing that there's something much better ahead. Because we're not to remain here. We're only pilgrims on this journey. And we need to look forward to another reunion, even better than this place, a heavenly homeland. And like the early Hebrews and the Israelites of the Old Testament, we are wanderers and sojourners in a time and place which we instinctively go through because of the influence of the Holy Spirit. We are being led each day to the homeland of the heart, for which we celebrate life. Life is not a metaphor. Life is real. The precious gift of life points us to where one day we will be. And as we journey back through the years and look at all the archives and the pictures and remembering when Bubba was a baby, we will be able to reflect on our journey and realize this little church in Leon County has spread its tentacles to the ends of the earth with the faithful people who preached and taught the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm fascinated as I go through the building over here and look at the library and look at all the things that you all have done. I say you all have done because either you have been a part of it or your ancestors have been a part of it. And here you are, 182 years later, still preaching and teaching the Word of God. This building and your spiritual heritage is a legacy from the founders of the Bethel United Methodist Church. And you all will be commended for the keeping and the honoring of this legacy. You recognize a debt of gratitude to those who came before us for reorganizing and keeping it going. You value it enough to come back and fellowship with your family and your friends at this time we call homecoming, and we're grateful that you're here. But I hope and pray that you see the larger picture, the underlining meaning of all this. Here is in this gathering of remembrance and celebration is a foretaste of glory divine, foretaste of a great gathering and a reunion celebration in heaven, which we are all invited to be. We hang on to that hope that we know where Mom is, and we look forward to the day when we'll be with her, or Dad, or family, or friends, or I got a little I got a little daughter that died from SIDS, or crib, that's what we called it in them days, 8 days old. I'm looking forward to seeing Kathy again. But that's what keeps us going, is that hope. It's His plan of salvation, not ours, as we enter into His glory. And surely as spiritual ancestors of the Bethel United Methodist Church, I'm sure that they prayed for us over the years, even though a lot of them didn't even know who we would be or where we would be, but they knew that God would fulfill that promise. And here we are today, celebrating what they have done for us. So I invite you today, as we do this time of celebration and homecoming, that pray for those who went before us, even though they don't need our prayers now because they're safely home. But it's the legacy that they have left us with is a blessing. The very blessing of the Holy Spirit, filling our hearts with a melody and a joy of thanksgiving coming up in a few weeks. We're grateful now that I know that some stores are finally going to close on Thanksgiving Day to give their family a chance to be together. It's so sad if we can't take one day a year just to be together with family and give God thanks for all we've done. Pray for the children and the children's future, that they may be drawn. We got a good group of young folks. But as I drive around this neighborhood, there is kids everywhere. There is people. How can you? Well, I know because I did it. I hadn't always been a preacher. I had come to know the saving grace of God 6 o'clock in the morning, 1986, in the middle of my swimming pool on July the 21st. I was raised in a Christian home, but I drifted. And I realized I needed to make a recommitment and to seek God's grace and blessings. So we need to reach out. On the altar is an open book. The open book is the Bible. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I was raised in a community where they baked bread every afternoon and every morning. On the way to school and after school, I could smell that fresh baked bread. It brings back memories now when I go to Thomasville and go by Flowers Bakery. This bread of life needs to permeate from this place, and the aroma of the Holy Spirit to let people know that fresh bread is served here every Sunday, every Wednesday, and any other time that we can gather to worship God. So pray for our children and our children's children. Look forward to a time of fellowship and reflecting with you as we break for a time of fellowship and break bread together. But also wanted to be faithful to what our calling is. Because many folks like myself have made a commitment for Christ and maybe drifted away over the years to take time and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I know I need a Savior. I did that one time, but I've drifted away. To make a prayer of recommitment. Or maybe somebody, not everybody that goes to church on a regular basis knows the Lord in a personal way. That's what makes Christianity so special. It is not a religion. It's a relationship with the living God through Christ. A personal relationship. And you can do it anywhere, anytime. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. And if you're everything that they say that you are, then come into my life and be Lord over it. And He said that He stands there at the door of our heart, knocking. And all we got to do is open up and let Him in. We're looking for a church home. If you know some folks in this area that need a church home, I'll tell you what, the few short months that I've been here, this is the kind of church that you can call home. Not only on homecoming, but every day. So we give you the glory this morning, Lord, as we celebrate homecoming today. In Jesus' name, amen.